Let me unmute myself here. And let me just start off. Another word came in while we were already moving past that time, but I want to honor somebody sharing something via the web stream. Psalm 4:6, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen? So that's directly from the Bible, so you don't got to worry about it, okay? The other thing I wanted to say before we get started here is I am so thankful that you guys are here today. I was not looking forward to preaching to an empty room. There's just a different spiritual dynamic when there are people here. And I mean, I love you folks at home, but it's just not the same, you know. Like during COVID, there were so many weeks where we were just here, just like a handful of us, and it was all about the camera. And I don't want to focus on that camera. So anyway, let's get started. There was a theme running through our scripture readings this morning, and these were from the lectionary. We've been on the lectionary the last couple of weeks, and I don't know. Did you pick it up? Anybody? Our Old Testament reading was about Jeremiah's divine call to the prophetic ministry as a young man. Prophetic ministry. And I mean, can you imagine being called to be God's spokesperson at a very young age? And he balked. He protested that he was too young. But God reassured him, saying, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I am with you, and I will rescue you." You know, God didn't want Jeremiah to be afraid, and he doesn't want us to be afraid either. And then in our New Testament reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was teaching them about the gift of prophecy as a way of building up the church. And so you know, prophecy, the prophetic, right? And what we need to understand as we kind of come into this morning is that the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets were very different. There's a big difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. For example, the Old Testament prophets proclaimed God's word to the nation of Israel. New Testament prophets proclaimed God's word to the church, primarily. Additionally, there were different consequences for failed prophecies, right? In the Old Testament, if you gave an inaccurate prophetic word, what happened? You got stoned to death, man, right? And there was an easy way to tell if the word was right or wrong, right? Deuteronomy 18:22 says that if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. In the New Testament, however, we don't stone prophets, thank God, right? Rather, we are told, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, right, to test and examine prophetic words. And what that means, practically speaking, is that we all have the Holy Spirit. God has given us his Holy Spirit living inside us, and we can all discern when we hear something that, you know, gets a thumbs up, yeah, that's God, or when something's a little bit off. We shouldn't automatically receive everything as the word of the Lord, okay? As a church, we need to be discerning. We need to test these words and see if it bears witness with the word of God, primarily, and with our spirit, okay? And then in our gospel reading, the last reading, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." And have you ever heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? You know, that's what Jesus was experiencing here. He was considered a great prophet elsewhere, but in his hometown of Nazareth, that wasn't the case. And maybe you've experienced that. So, you know, there's a lot that can be said about the gift of prophecy. But for this morning, I'm going to limit myself to the reading from 1 Corinthians. And even there, I'm going to confess, I'm not so sure I did such a good job. I kind of feel like I was all over the place with this because there was so much to say and I couldn't figure out how to cram it all in. And so I was trying to, like, you know, God, what do you want me to say? But anyway, it is what it is. And so I'm bringing you what I got. And the Lord will use it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come together this morning to receive from your word, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you breathe on these words. We pray that you put power on them. And that you will put them, plant them deep down in our hearts, that they may take root and bear fruit to your glory. So Lord, we just thank you for this day, for your many blessings on our life. And Lord, thank you that you've blessed us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So I need to set the stage a little bit here by way of background. The church in the city of Corinth was a mess. It was experiencing some pretty severe divisions. Paul had planted this church, and now he's writing a letter of correction to them, right, to kind of, you know, steer the ship right and get it back on track. And, you know, they were divided over a whole lot of issues, which Paul addresses in the letter of 1 Corinthians, but our reading this morning is particularly concerned with their divisions regarding their corporate worship, regarding what they did when they came together to worship God as we're doing this morning. You see, when the Corinthians came together to have church, something was a little off. Something was amiss. Some in the Corinthian church were causing division by elevating one spiritual gift above all the others. So Paul begins his teaching way back in chapter 12 by saying that while there are many different gifts, they all come from the same triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? And he basically, the point he's trying to make is that there are no greater and lesser gifts. Right? He says, hey, we are all one body. We each have a part to play. You know, receive from the Lord and play your part. And then Paul makes a statement that he further develops in our reading this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So as members of Christ's body, we are to use our God-given spiritual gifts for the common good of the body of Christ. Not for making ourselves look good, not for claiming some elite super Christian status, right? You get the little embossed card, I am super Christian. Not for making others feel like second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. And I'm sure that we've all experienced this to some degree or another if you've been around the church for any amount of time. You know, there are those who want to show how spiritual they are by how many gifts, well, I, you know, did this and I did this. And then there are those who, you know, just feel like, oh, God, do I know you at all? Right? And so, while there are no greater or lesser gifts, let's acknowledge that there are some gifts that are more visible than others. In fact, let's go straight to the point here. Some gifts can be noisier than others. And that's the point Paul is trying to make to these Corinthians in these chapters. You see, the gift that the Christians had elevated above all others was the gift of tongues. It's the gift of tongues. Very visible, very obvious. I mean, you can hear it when somebody's got that gift. And it was divisive then, and it's divisive now. And I'm not in any way dismissing the gift of tongues, okay? I believe in it. I speak in tongues. But let's acknowledge reality. Some people use this gift to make others feel less than, right? Like they're not up to snuff in Christ. And that's not okay. Let me just say it. It's not okay. Which is why Paul begins chapter 13 with these words. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, last week was Vivian's turn to preach a Tom Jr. sermon, Deacon Tom Jr. This week it's my turn to preach a Deacon Tom Jr. sermon. Because, you know, I've always found it really interesting that Paul, you know, where you can read the most about spiritual gifts in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And what's in the middle is 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. And it's almost like this love sandwich, right? But the meat is the love. The bread are the spiritual gifts. So Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Have you ever heard a clanging cymbal? When I was a kid, someone gave me this little wind-up monkey. And he would like have these cymbals. And you'd wind them up and he'd, you know, cymbal away. And I want to tell you, I hated that toy. I hated that toy. A, the monkey creeped me out. And B, I hated the sound of the cymbals. I mean, I didn't know the word then, but now I would say that the toy grated on me. You know what? Something grates on you? That toy grated on me. It was noisy for no reason. And Paul is saying, via the Holy Spirit, mind you, that's what the Corinthians sounded like as they attempted to prove their spiritual superiority by speaking in tongues. In public, right? We're talking about in public. So the first point, if you're taking notes this morning, is follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. Paul begins chapter 14 with these words. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. The Bible says that God is love. Amen? God is love. The Bible also says that faith works by love. And spiritual gifts, says Paul, whether tongues or something else, apart from love, will profit you nothing. Love is Paul's antidote to the misuse of spiritual gifts. He says that the antidote, the key, is to follow the way of love. So my second point is, these are going to come pretty quickly now that I got the long introduction out of the way. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Interestingly enough, here's this church that's in chaos because of the misuse of spiritual gifts. You would think that, you know, somebody would come in and like, just shut that mess down. But no. He doesn't tell them to dismiss or deny spiritual gifts. He tells them to desire them. And not just to desire them, but to eagerly desire them. You see, the answer to abuse is not non-use. You get that? The answer to abuse is not non-use. It's proper use. And so the church at Corinth had abused their spiritual gifts. They had misunderstood that they were for the common good. But the answer was not to deny the work of the Spirit. The answer was to learn how to use the gifts properly and in love. And so my third point here is especially prophecy. Especially prophecy. You know, Paul tells of Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:12, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. You know, you guys want to have spiritual gifts? You want to put them to use? Go after the ones that build up the church. Amen. So, remember that Paul began chapter 14 by saying, follow the way of love, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So why does Paul emphasize prophecy and not tongues? I mean, he develops this argument in these chapters. And so in chapter 14, Paul writes, the person who speaks in tongues builds himself up, but not the church, right? So remember that spiritual gifts, Paul said, should be exercised for the common good of the church. They should be for the common good of those gathered. So Paul says that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That's Paul's instruction regarding the proper use of spiritual gifts of prophecy. But then he says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. It's, you know, human spirit to God spirit communication that bypasses our limited human understanding when words fail us, right? I mean, that's what that is. It's spirit to spirit. God, I am communicating to you in a language that even I don't understand. I'm trusting that you do. And it builds us up. That's what Scripture says. It builds us up. In fact, Paul writes, I love this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. A little boastful moment for Paul. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul is clearly using hyperbole here, right? He doesn't really know that he speaks more in tongues than anybody, but you know, he just kind of, his point is, hey, listen, I'd rather speak 5 words that people can understand and receive than 10,000 words in tongues in church. So at church, it's preferable to prophesy than to speak in tongues because everyone can understand a word of prophecy, but not everyone can understand a tongue unless an interpretation is given. So Paul wants us to eagerly desire these spiritual gifts, but he especially wants us to prophesy. And he wants us to prophesy because this particular gift from God will strengthen, encourage, and comfort the church, the body of Christ. Now, right about now, you may be wondering, what is the gift of prophecy? I mean, I kind of think I know what it means, but what is it really? Well, if you're like me, maybe you've heard definitions such as these. Prophecy is foretelling the future, predicting the future. Maybe you've heard that one, and we have many examples of that in Scripture. In fact, there are so many prophecies about Jesus the Messiah in the Old Covenant that have been fulfilled in the New Testament. Or maybe you've heard this one, that it is proclaiming a word from the Lord, foretelling, predicting the future or proclaiming a word from the Lord. But recently, I came across another definition that I really, really, really like, because I think it's kind of what we're going for, what we're going after here on Sunday mornings. You know, every Sunday, during the musical worship portion of our time together, we set aside some time to listen to the Lord. So here's the definition. Telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. Telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. So you're sitting here, you're worshiping the Lord, minding your own business. All of a sudden, God drops a thought in your head. And the biggest question that most of us will have at that moment is, how do I know it's God? Well, you don't. And that's why, you know, it takes a risk to share, because you don't. But it might be. And so we want to be people who take that risk. So we do that on Sunday mornings. We set aside time to listen to the Lord, and then we encourage you to share those words for the common good of the church, right? So that others can be built up. That is why the gift is given. That's what it's for. Now, I want you to know that from Pastor Marty and from my perspective, that can be a risky thing to do, right? I mean, we're basically opening the floor and we're trusting that God is going to speak through his people. But I mean, what if somebody says something absolutely bonkers? I mean, has that thought ever crossed your mind that somebody could get up and say something completely bonkers? I mean, that's a scary thing. And thankfully, that hasn't happened here yet that I'm aware of. But I remember hearing a story about a prophet who stood up in a church meeting and he said, "Thus saith the Lord," and they all kind of have like this weird way of talking. "Thus saith the Lord, I have judged this church and people. My glory is no longer here. I have written Michelob on your doorposts." And after he sat down, he realized that he mistook the word Michelob, which is a beer, for Ichabod. So he stood up again. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, I meant to say Ichabod." Now, we find that story humorous. I thought it was really funny. But anyway, we can learn from it too, though, okay? For example, there's absolutely nothing strengthening, encouraging, and comforting about that word. So having tested and examined that word according to biblical principles, we can dismiss it, right? We can test it, we can examine it, and we can dismiss it. Prophetic words need to bear witness for the truths, to the truths taught in Scripture, and there should also be an internal witness, right? I mean, there should be an internal yes when we hear a prophetic word, that it should resonate on some level with those of us who have trained our spirits according to His Word. But here's the thing. You don't learn, you don't grow, if you don't try. You know, one of my spiritual mentors used to say faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? You need to walk past the fear and step out in faith and say, I don't know if this is the Lord, but I'm going to trust, you know, hey. And you don't have to be, you know, like thus saith the Lord, right? You could just say, hey, this is what I'm sensing. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm hearing, you know, and I don't know if it means anything to anybody, but you know, and just kind of put it out there in a safe way. And you don't have to adopt any strange mannerisms or any weird voice or speak in some kind of like esoteric King James language. You know, you can just kind of put it out there. Be naturally supernatural. Right? I mean, the gifts of the Spirit will operate through your human personality and through your human character, so you don't need to become somebody else. So you don't learn, you don't grow if you don't try. And this is a safe place for us to kind of experiment with these things and grow, right? And if somebody says something really off, you know, we'll talk to them, right? In a loving way, we'll approach them and say, hey, you know, maybe that the tone or that was, you know, just didn't feel right, or, you know. So this is a safe place. But I don't know about you. I'd rather be part of a church where we tried and missed it sometimes than one where we never tried at all because we were afraid of failure. I mean, anybody with me on that? I'd rather be part of a church where we don't get it perfect, right? There's no perfection in New Testament prophecy. Right? That's Old Testament stuff. We're not going to take anybody out and stone them. Right? So I'd rather be part of a church where we tried and sometimes missed it than one where we never tried at all because we were too afraid to try. I want to go big for God in everything I do. Is that your heart? Go big or stay home, right? All right. So the church is God's sandbox where all God's kids get to play. And so I want to encourage you to come out and play. Bring your gifts. Come out and play in the sandbox. And sometimes we'll get it right and sometimes not so much. But at the end of the day, we are loved. Right? Our Heavenly Father loves us. And He will not reject us. So, as we wrap up this morning, there's a whole lot more that can be said about the biblical gift of prophecy. And it's one that, you know, you learn about and you practice and you learn about and you practice over time, right? And you grow in your gift. So as part of that, we're going to be having an online class sometime this spring. And I mean, especially if you believe that God is calling you to prophetic ministry, I would encourage you to come to that. I'm not going to teach it. It's going to be with Chris Valton from Bethel Church in Reading. But we'll do that at some point this spring, and we encourage you to be a part of that. But if you walk away with anything this morning, let it be this. The main pursuit of the Christian is love, not gifts. The main pursuit of the Christian is love, not gifts. And if you haven't heard Vivian's sermon, you need to go back and watch that one last week. Vivian titled her sermon, I think it was Uncommon Kindness. I would have called it Where's the Love? But anyway, that was my title for her sermon. But anyway, go back and listen to that one. It'll bless you. But, you know, that's really the point. We pursue love because none of the other stuff works without it. It all kind of falls apart. But in spite of that, in spite of our calling to be a people who pursue, who chase, who run after love, that doesn't mean that we throw spiritual gifts out the window, right? We don't throw them out. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because they've been abused elsewhere doesn't mean that we throw them out. The remedy to abuse is not non-use, but proper use. So, you know, Paul encourages us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And lastly, we should especially desire to prophesy. You know, we want to be a people who are open to the idea, to the notion of God dropping words into our minds and through us communicating and sharing his love with others. Because you never know. You may think that you're just saying something and that could be a naturally supernatural moment. I mean, has anybody ever had a moment like that where they say something that later on you look back and you say, wow, that was a divine appointment. That was like, I just said something that I just was like saying, and meanwhile that had a particular kind of resonance or significance to that person that I had no clue about. That was God. That was God speaking through you. And sometimes we're aware of it, sometimes we're not. But just be open to that idea that God wants to bless you to be a blessing. He wants to deposit a timely word in your heart that will strengthen, encourage, and comfort someone else, maybe even the whole church. And so that's why we do that, what we do on Sunday mornings. So that was all like one big encouragement to go for it. Permission granted to speak on Sunday mornings during that time. I mean, like, you know, not in the middle of the service, not in the middle of somebody's sermon. You know, we have an order, decently in an order, right? We set aside a time for it, but permission granted. Go ahead. God wants to use you. He's given you gifts, and he wants to use you to bless his body, to bless one another. Amen? Amen. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We just pray, Lord, that you will use us and that you will be glorified in us and through us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and his gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.